May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 1124. I fain would love the day of rest, would still esteem this day the best, but oft, alas, I've need to say, how barren is my soul today. Hymn 1124.
Help us in turning to his holy word. And we'll read from Isaiah chapter 50, and the first epistle of John, chapter 1. Isaiah, chapter 50. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by warning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded, therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. First Epistle of John, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray for thine almighty help now on this thy day. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy mercies unto us. Though we have thy word before us, we do thank thee for thy gracious hand, for thy mercies, O Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, indeed, that thou wouldst be pleased to grant us that light, the light of life. O Lord, do shine in our hearts, we pray, though we go through darksome paths. O Lord, indeed, shine upon us, open our eyes that we may see. And, O Lord, do grant us that increase of faith which is so needful. And, O Lord, indeed, we do pray for thy teaching, thy leading, where necessary, thy reproof and thy rebuke. And above all, for a hearing ear, we may be in the Spirit on thy day. Indeed, that we may be, as it were, the right side of that verse. Let him that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. O Lord, do grant us a hearing ear, we pray, an understanding heart. We may be submissive unto thy hand, for indeed all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. And as for God, his way is perfect. O Lord, increase our faith, we pray. As the disciples came unto thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, and made that petition, Lord, increase our faith. O Lord, we would come unto thee, O Lord, this day, praying, Lord, increase our faith. And, O Lord, may we know the power of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. O Lord, do grant thy resurrection power to lift us up. And, O Lord, we would pray indeed for thy help for friends here. We do thank thee that we're once more, after a long period, enabled to gather with them again. And, O Lord, we do pray for thy help and thy blessing. We do indeed pray for our friends that, and especially bereaved. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be with him and the family to grant thy comfort and thy help. O Lord, do draw near, we pray, and grant of thy sweet touch. And, O Lord, we do pray for those that are tried, walking in darkness. O Lord, indeed we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to grant them thy help, to shine in their hearts. O Lord, do indeed grant us thy help. We do pray indeed for any that are sick or unwell, or unable to come out to thy house, that thou wouldst indeed draw near unto them, to look in mercy and grace. Grant them thy help in their affliction. Do strengthen them, we do pray. For those at infirmity and frailty, O Lord, do draw near and help. We would especially pray for thy servants that are sick at this time. We do particularly remember thy servant, Mr. Rizzard, ill at this time, and O Lord, we do pray for thy preservation and thy healing, for him, thy help, to him and his wife and family at this most trying time. Grant us indeed that help in venturing this afternoon, and indeed that that which will be spoken may be, or rather that which thou would speak. That is what we so desire, that thou would speak those words of eternal life and comfort. We also pray for Mr. Robert Field and Matthew Hyde, that thou would grant thy healing and recovery to them. And, O Lord, indeed, we do pray for brothers, maybe known or unknown, and many are sick at this time, and many are bereaved, many are in perplexity. O Lord, indeed, we do pray that thy gracious hand may be upon us and upon them, to comfort and to uphold. Do indeed bless thy servants that labour and preach this day. Be with my own pastor at home and Brother Jonathan in the ministry where he is labouring, as he is due to be here in the coming Lord's Day, if it be thy will, that, O Lord, that thou wouldst be pleased to bless the word. O Lord, we do pray for thy favour upon thy servants, that fresh anointing, and indeed that thou hast raised up more labourers. Preach the everlasting gospel. Raise up members, deacons, mothers in Israel, pastors in the churches. And, O Lord, thy judgments are truly upon us. And what distress we are in. O Lord, look in mercy, we pray. Do draw us unto thyself, that thou mightest have the preeminence. We know that unity in thee, O Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, do look in mercy and turn us again. Be thy word to say that judgment begin at the house of God. And O Lord, grant us those ears to hear the rod and who hath appointed it, and not just with an outward hearing, and to carry on as we always have done, but, O Lord, that true hearkening. And, O Lord, that the word may come with power, that we may walk in repentance before thee. O Lord, appear, we do pray. For it is a time of much distress, much disturbance in many minds, disturbance in churches. O Lord, indeed, thou who art the Prince of Peace, do grant, we do pray, that peace from on high. And, O Lord, we would pray indeed, as we hear the wind and the strength of it, may indeed there be that wind of the Spirit blowing upon us and in the midst. As we read of the early church, they were of one in one heart, one mind, one place, praying unto Thee, O Lord, in the praying in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And there was that mighty working in the midst. O Lord, we do pray for Thy help. Yet we do thank Thee that Thou hast not cut us off as our sins deserve. Thou hast chastened us sore. O Lord, yet Thou art yet the same, ever gracious, ever wise. And O Lord, we would praise Thee. We do pray for the children, the young people, that Thou wouldst be pleased to help them. Indeed, in the past 18 months, none have been untouched, whether older or younger. Do pray indeed that Thou wouldst help them and do guide them in their studies and schooling, or in college or in employment. We pray indeed that Thou wouldst provide for them godly husbands and wives. And, O Lord, that they may yet press forward in seeking Thee early. Indeed, we have so many examples in God's word of the young as well as the old receiving and knowing those blessings in Christ Jesus. And we who are parents, grant us that wisdom and that grace before Thee in bringing up our children rightly in Thy sight. Look in mercy upon us in the nation, we pray, to give wisdom to our rulers and our leaders at this time and those in Parliament. O Lord, do help those that yet fear Thy name. In government and in Parliament, that they may be given that holy boldness, yet discretion, their steadfastness. Do, O Lord, preserve them from those that hate Thee and all that follow Thee. But, O Lord, look in mercy upon our government, Prime Minister. But, O Lord, look in mercy to grant grace and open their eyes, we pray. And, O Lord, we do pray for our Queen at this time in her old age and evident weariness with many duties. O Lord, do grant her that strengthening. Do grant her that refreshing. And O Lord, do grant of Thy grace and Thy mercy in her soul, that yet her reign may be lengthened out unto us. And O Lord, we would then pray, do help us. Do give us ears to hear. Do grant me that help in speaking. But above all, O Lord, that Thou would speak by the Holy Spirit. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 295. I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of His salvation know and seek more earnestly His face. Hymn 295.
May the Lord help us in coming to his holy word. I'll direct you particularly to Isaiah 50 and verse 10. Isaiah 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. All God's ways are righteous. And it is most needful that we should confess that he is righteous, that he is holy. As for God, his way is perfect. To confess that God is omniscient, he knows all things. That he is omnipotent, he has all power. That he is omnipresent, that he is everywhere present. So especially to those that have a hope, a good hope in Jesus Christ. The title of the Lord Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But it is most evident from God's word, and indeed each one of the Lord's people, true believers, will have to walk this way. Oft times we must walk in dark paths. What do we mean by that darkness? It's not the darkness of those that are unbelievers in rebellion. You perhaps think they're walking in light, like we have in verse 11, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, as it were, the word of God says in irony. So elsewhere we read the Lord have them in derision. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Yes, there are those who are think they have the light. It's of their own kindling, the light of human wisdom and reason, so called. To be enlightened, or that false light from Satan. But we see here that those who are called by the grace of God, may be in darkness or feel to be in darkness. Cannot see the way that they're going. Feel perhaps if this was in darkness here and there was no light, we stumble around. We're not sure where we're going. But how do we reconcile with that which we read in our other reading in the New Testament? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. How can I be walking in darkness and in light? Well, this was a trouble to me in contemplating to speak, but verse came to me in trust of the Lord in Psalm 139, because there can be no contradiction in the Word of God. God's Word is pure. God's Word is holy. The Jesus Christ, who is the Word, there can be no contradiction. There is no unrighteousness, no darkness in him at all. We read in Psalm 139. Which begins, a Psalm of David, thou hast searched me and known me. Yes, David, to go through many searching times. Times of trial, times of persecution. Times when there were those discoveries of that, the workings of the old man, those falls. Those times of war. Times of danger. Yet the Lord brought him through them all. Thou hast searched me and known me. And he confesses here that the Lord knows all his ways. Now Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That must have been a dark place. In one sense. But yet there is the light here shining. By the Spirit of God. I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. There is the light in the midst of a dark path. Is the presence of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He was on the cross, there was that darkness. In the Garden of Gethsemane, there was that darkness. He went through a place of agony, place of betrayal, place of sorrow, place of great suffering, body and soul. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There was the light in the midst of darkness, the promise, the Lord, being with the Lord. To be with Christ, which is far better, that must have been a light in the dark cell that the Apostle Paul was in, awaiting execution. You know, that crown of righteousness was laid up in store. The Lord Jesus had gone to prepare a place, then would receive him unto himself. But to come back to Psalm 139. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Although there be that walking in darkness in one sense, yet in God's sight, we see here the darkness, the night shineth the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Well, another passage which I trust may shed some light is that when the Lord constrained his disciples to go across the sea, the Lord constrained. It was the Lord's hand. And they came into a dark place. It was night. They're in the middle of the lake. So the worst place to come into trouble, right in the middle of the lake. If you're near the edge, you might have natural hope to be able to quickly go to the side. I was in Northern Ireland earlier in the year and went to Loch Nay, the biggest lake in the British Isles. And just to a little inlet from it, it didn't look very big, but it was a long drive all the way around. I'm not sure, it was about 20 or 30 miles across in both directions. And I was told by the Lord's people I was staying with how dangerous it was to venture out into the middle of that lake, because a long way from the shore. The Lake of Galilee. Not sure the exact dimensions, but they were there out in the middle, and it was night. And Jesus was not with them in the boat. The wind was contrary. And yet the Lord saw them. There they were, the darkness. The night shineth as the day. Although it was dark, the disciples, in their own natural sense and perception, yet the Lord saw them. The Lord was interceding in prayer. He was not asleep. We may be tempted in a darksome path that the Lord is asleep, but no, he's not. Or the Lord has forgotten, no, he is not. Or the Lord doesn't care, no, he is not. For he careth for you. But there the Lord was in a mountain, in the midst of the mountains. Even there the Lord sees. There was no natural obstacle. Now, if we're in a mountain, or what that literally means, in the midst of some valley or ravine in the mountain, surrounded by the mountains, we cannot see. But that's not a barrier to the Lord. I think, well, no one sees my trouble or distress or the need that I have. But yes, well, no, none of us may see. No other human may, or ordinary man or woman may see, but the Lord. Surely God manifest in the flesh. We see here a demonstration of the Lord's divinity in union with his sacred humanity. That although his sacred humanity was not there in the boat, yet being truly God, he could see. And the night shone as the day, as it were. You could see the disciples there in their need, and he came to them. And another demonstration of his divinity was that he walked upon the water. Another psalm, Psalm 77. Thy way is in the sea, referring to God. Thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. And the Lord came unto the disciples. Although at first we read that they were affrighted, they thought they'd seen an evil spirit or some phantom. Suddenly seized with superstition. No, it was the Lord. It is I. Be not afraid, it's I. Be of good cheer. It is I, it's the Lord. And the Lord demonstrated his sacred humanity by then continuing the other half of the lake in the boat. One half it walked upon the water, and the other half with his disciples, and brought them to shore. And they were brought to shore safely. And so it is with Christ, we're safe. They were just as safe when Christ was in the boat with them on the latter part of the journey as the earlier part, and even the middle part when it was dark and the wind was contrary. Just as safe, although, alas, like them, we oft time subject to unbelieving fears. Fear, well, whatever shall happen, however shall we get through? But yet there was that faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. One of the striking things there was, we don't read that they turned around. They didn't turn back. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Though that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. They didn't turn back. It would have been easy to turn back. Wind would have been behind them. They'd have quickly got back to the safety of the shore. But it wouldn't have been where the Lord had constrained them to go. Maybe strongly tempted to turn back. I can tell you, I've been tempted in that way very strongly in the past year or two of trials of varying sorts. Turn back. But we see the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't turn back. He came to Gethsemane, or came when he set his face to Jerusalem, knowing the cross that he should meet there. We read in Isaiah 50 concerning our Lord, and set his face as a flint. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. These verses, particularly verse 4 to verse 9, it speaks of Christ. I gave my back to the smiters. She was scourged. My cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. They spat upon him. For Lord God will help me. This is particularly speaking of Christ in his sacred humanity. An angel strengthened him. Garden of Gethsemane. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. How is it that we are brought through? It is in Christ who conquered. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We are more than conquerors through him. Indeed, the resurrection from the dead is that seal, that grand proof, that glorious triumph to show that he has gained the victory. And we are partakers through faith by the grace of God. We see our Lord Jesus Christ, he set his face, I set my face like a flint. I can do all things through Christ. That is the vital word in Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Take Christ out and we've nothing. No strength. No hope. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. For a flint is a hard, sharp stone. Not bent in any way, not deflected in any way. Set my face as a flint. It's not that the Lord Jesus Christ is hard and uncaring, but in the context here that he would not be turned aside. I delight to do thy will, O my God, we read in prophecy. Thy will was to fulfil all righteousness, to redeem his one true church out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue, to show mercy to the poor and the afflicted, to receive unto himself, O every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, to come unto those, to open the eyes of the blind. Well, that was a dark place. One who was blind could not see, no light. And the Lord came and opened the eye, they could see. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness? Well, those disciples on the sea, on the seashore, the Lord constrained them. It was the Lord's command. They'd obeyed. The devil may tempt you, well, you've obeyed the Lord and ventured forth, and look what darkness you're in now. It's all a deceit. Well, may we not listen to the devil's voice. The Lord Jesus Christ would not suffer the devils to speak. Eve engaged in a conversation with the devil, and look what trouble came. The disciples, they obeyed. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is not like an unbelieving fear, but it's a fear that comes. It's a reverence, a bowing at the feet of Jesus, a submitting to his will. In love. To this one will I look. To this man will I look. He that is poor and of a contrite spirit. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. To this man will I look. Even he who is the creator of heaven and earth. But here is a word of comfort and direction, encouragement. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? In the days of Isaiah and the prophecy, there was much that was amiss in Judah and in Israel. Many who were walking in sparks of their own kindling, false religion. Yeah, there was a remnant that feared the Lord's name, despised, was in trouble. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? That obeyeth the voice of his servant. His servant. This is a reference to Christ. The one that we've read of in verses 4 to 9. And we read here in chapter 42 of Isaiah, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. It's a reference to Christ, my servant, God the Father speaking of God the Son. That obeyeth the voice of his servant. Yeah, the disciples, they obeyed that voice that the Lord constrained them to go across the lake. I know when my own small experience of the Lord has constrained and that call has come to go forth. It was certainly so when I was called out of darkness. And to forsake many of the ways of not just irreligious darkness, but religious darkness. Because I believe that's what's referred here to, particularly kindle a fire, compass yourselves about with sparks, a religious darkness, trying to create some excitement, some joy, some light. Yes, and as a boy I used to light the candles on the altar too in the Church of England. But there's no light there. Not a true light, the light of the world. Yes, when I brought out of that, what trouble. Friends deserting me. Family disapproving. The devil roaring. All manner of trouble. But yet the Lord had called. And there was only one way. And that was forward. I had a storm that came upon me when I was seeking that burden that I must go before the church. The Lord had brought me out of a terrible burden of sin and guilt and brought me to that place of a good hope in Jesus. But what trouble then came in venturing forward. But thanks be to God that he gives the faith. It's not our own. Surely I'd have turned back if it had been my own faith. But there's only one way, and that is forward. Say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Army of Pharaoh marching behind. The Red Sea in front. There's only one way, and that's forward. And the Lord made a way. He made a way then, he makes a way now in whatever calling he calls for his people to go forth in. Likewise in the ministry. Hosts of difficulties, but yet there's only one way forward. Only one way, and that's forward. If the Lord has spoken, his word is good. His word is gracious. Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There were those who were saying, this isn't hard, saying, who can hear it? And the disciples, and Peter particularly spake, thou hast the words of eternal life. It is the way, that calling that leads to eternal life. However the darksome paths that we follow here, it's that way that leads to eternal life. But as we come to the walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord. That vital need of faith, trust. Where shall we obtain that? the disciples, they came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. Faith is that which is instrumental in our salvation. For by grace are we saved, the grace of God, that love, that unmerited love, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the cause of our salvation. Sacrifice upon the cross is shed blood. For we who are so poor and unworthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Through grace, by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. The Lord has so wonderfully set forth that we may ask him. Indeed, it is by grace, the grace of God, that we ever have any desire to ask. It is the work of the new creation, the new man within, the work of God, that we should ask, should seek. But let him trust in the name of the Lord. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is good. The Lord, Jehovah, I am that I am. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of the Lord endureth forever. The eternal love of God, the eternal Son of God, the eternal covenant, the everlasting love of God. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Well, we read of faith in Hebrews, in Hebrews 11. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, in the dark, we don't seem to see anything. But yet may the Lord grant us that increase of faith, that we may yet have that hope. Substance of things hoped for. That which is substantial. Although the natural eye, we don't see it. By faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We mention here by faith Enoch. Enoch walked with God. What grace he must have been given. And is that not our desire? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Stay means literally to lean or to rest upon. A stay in that sense is like a post or a pillar. Like the pillars that the gallery is supported upon. Without them, the gallery would come down and all in it. But a stay, as it were, is a support, a pillar. To stay upon, and the verb is to rest upon, to lean upon that which is sure, that which is steadfast, that which will not give way. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And what light there is. Not a natural light that is seen, but that which is by the natural eye, but that which is seen by faith. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Also in the Psalms, Psalm 134, one of the shortest of the Psalms. The Song of Degrees. That word translated degrees in the title of the psalm has the sense of a steps or a ladder, a going up. And it was customarily sung by those going up to the temple. Which literally, the Temple Mount is on a high point, and those that would go there had to climb up. It may be very arduous if you're to go up many thousands of feet. but to sing those praises. And there is great strength from the Lord as by faith we sing the praise of God. Think of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. That was a dark place. Yeah, the Lord had called them in that vision to go there. Come over and help us. The man of Macedonia appeared. There they were in a dark place, shackled up, beaten. And whatever might be done to them on the morrow, they could only suppose, naturally speaking, but there they were singing praises unto God, and they were praying. We've no doubt that they prayed in thanksgiving and sang praises in thanksgiving after the earthquake, but they were singing praises in the darkness before the earthquake. And the prisoners heard them. They were not ashamed. There was faith. There was that light that they saw and they thanked God for. In that sense, they were walking in 1 John 1 verse 7. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. They weren't arguing with each other as to, like Silas saying, well, are you sure you got this vision right? Look what trouble we've come into. There wasn't a debate about how it was they ended up in this terrible dungeon when they had been sent forth by the church and they'd hoped this, and then there was all the door was shut in Asia and Bithynia, and now there they are in a dungeon in Philippi. Evident that they were, by faith, walking in the light. For there was fellowship one with another. And that fellowship flows from the union with Christ, the living vine. We cannot know any fellowship one with another if we are not by the Spirit, in union with Christ. If there's a lack of fellowship, let's look at ourselves rather than another, than each other. Is there that matter in which we are not walking in the light, not walking with Christ? Is that the cause of a lack of fellowship? Because if we are in the light as he is in the light, there is a fellowship. Not maybe. We have fellowship one with another. Yeah, there was that walking in the light, although they were in that dark place. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And God is faithful to deliver. We also have this, going back to, I digress, Psalm 134. To come back there, the Song of Degrees, that going up to the temple. It's a path that would be arduous. We need that strength. There was that singing as they went. The previous 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The Psalm 134, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. There's a reference to the servants of the Lord standing in the by night, a dark time. That's a time that's discouraging. Certainly a dark time at the moment. As we look at so many of the churches in our own land, in the nation, it's a dark time spiritually. But behold, see, look where? Not to vanities, but looking unto Jesus. Turn thou mine eyes away from beholding vanity, said the psalmist. But that exhortation in the New Testament is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Indeed, we've not forgotten that there is the light that always burns in the tabernacle, or in the Holy of Holies and the Temple of Solomon. There's always that light continually there. Although, like we read of Samuel in the day, a young Samuel in the days of Eli, the light seemed to grow dim. There was much that was grievous, even amongst those that were supposed to be the priests of the Lord, like Eli's sons. What grievous darkness they were in, but yet there was still that light, although it was dim at that time. Have we not forgotten that light that light is Christ, the light of the world, the light of life. The entrance of thy words giveth light, read in the Psalms. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, again in Psalm 119. By night stand in the house of the Lord. Yes, it is a dark time, but just remember there is that light there in the temple burning continually. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today and forever. Although we're called into a darksome path naturally, yet may we rejoice that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God to rest, to lean there upon the Lord, as a rock, the rock of ages cleft for me. Think about that hymn. I'm not called to preach the hymn book, preach the word of God, but those the words of the poet, I can't quite find the number, the rock of ages cleft for me. There is our hope. There is all our stay. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world. And all ye servants of the Lord, well, you might say that us, particularly the ministers of the ministers, yes, but each one who is a believer, child of God, is called to serve him. In that sense, a servants of the Most High God. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, to praise him, to thank him. Psalm 136, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That refrain, his mercy endureth forever, is at the end of every verse. And that teaches us that his mercy endures forever throughout every step of our pathway, even in the dark times, in the storms as well as the calm, as well as the dark times, as well as when we see the way clearly before us, in the times of war and the times of peace. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. But then there are those that have the fire of their own kindling. Light that they've tried to strike themselves. the work of men's hands, not the work of God. Seems to give a light for the time, but goes out. And that which is received at God's hand is desperate sorrow. Let us beware of a religion of our own kindling. We may see and hear of much excitement going on in various places. But is it the Lord's hand? Or is it sparks our own kindling? It is clear here, those that fear the Lord, it's a path of tribulation. This is what the word of God says. Through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom. All that will of godly shall suffer persecution. Verse 1 in the next chapter continues, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." Again, to look unto Christ, the rock. "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness." Then we read, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He shall comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and thanks, gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Well, there is that place that is reserved and is sure. My wife and I once booked accommodation somewhere, and we expect to be able to stay there, and we arrived and knocked at the door, and the previous people had flooded the room above and ours was uninhabitable. Disappointment. Although somewhere else was quickly provided. But it's not so with the hope of heaven. We won't get, as it were, there and find that it's, as it were, full or not available or a disappointment at all. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." It's the Lord Jesus Christ. His word is true. His promises are sure. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And may the meditation upon these things by God's power and grace give us that light. Even if we are walking in those darksome paths. Amen.
The collections today will be for the FGEA. There will be no Sunday school this afternoon. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening addressed by Mr. Graham Hadley, followed by a church meeting. And on Thursday evening, Mr. Hadley will preach again in our Trinitarian Bible Society service, which will be followed by a collection. And next Lord's Day, God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Our closing hymn is 812. I realise we sang this hymn last week, but it has been impressed upon my mind to give it out again. "Whene'er I make some sudden stop, for many such I make, and cannot see the cloud cleared up, nor know which path to take. I to my Saviour speed my way, to tell my dubious state. Then listen what the Lord will say, and hope to follow that. And the verse that was specially impressed upon me was the last verse. He is my helper and my guide. I trust in him alone. No other helps have I beside. I venture all on one. Hymn 812.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.